Well, in seminary and in Bible college, the preaching classes that you will often go through, they are usually teaching you that when you are preparing a sermon or when you're getting ready to do some teaching, that you focus primarily on a select verse or a select passage, if you will. Maybe just a single thought or a theological truth. And we do this in order to keep the topic from being too large and overwhelming so that you don't give people too much information. Okay? Yeah, I'm not doing any of that. I'm doing something else here, all right? Because we are going to begin today to embark on a rather broad journey of study that I have been talking about with you for a while. It is talked about in churches some, but I don't think enough, because there are too many in churches that don't truly know the truth about what the Bible says. And I'm talking about angels. Now, this is not a topic that you often will hear at churches. And yet, I believe that angels are very misunderstood. I think that they're misrepresented by many. And it's only because we don't know fully what the Scripture says about who and what angels are. I heard the story recently of an angel that suddenly appeared in the middle of a boardroom of a very large, very prosperous, Christian-based company. All of a sudden, poof, there it was. And the angel walked up to the CEO that was sitting at the head of the table. And he said to him, "Because you have served so unselfishly, because you've advanced the kingdom of God through your ongoing support of missions." And he said, "Because you have been a steadfast example of a godly husband and father, I have been sent to reward you with a choice. You may have either great wealth, great wisdom, or great beauty." Well, without hesitating, the CEO looked up and he said, "Give me great wisdom." And with a loud clap of thunder, the angel said, "It is so." And he disappeared in a brilliant flash of light. Well, those sitting around the table are stunned. They're silent. They can't even breathe hardly, just trying to grasp what it is that they just witnessed. And so finally, the man sitting closest to the head of the table, he said, "Sir," he said, "you have been given magnificent, unfathomable, supernatural wisdom. What would you say to us now?" And the man straightened his shoulders and he lifted his chin and he looked around at each of them and he said, "I should have taken the money." Okay, now, before you begin breaking up into small discussion groups to talk about how you would spend the money, let me break your hearts just a little bit. Angels are not genies. They don't appear to grant wishes. That's not what they do. But you know, there are surveys and polls that are taken regularly in our culture. And they show consistently through the years that a large percentage of people believe in the existence of angels. But the fact is this, the issue is that it's not that they do believe, it's what we believe of angels. That's the issue. Not do we think they're there, but who and what are they? Because much of what people believe about angels today, and let's face it, this is true, it's dictated by movies, television programs, fantasy books, and New Age religion. That's where most people get their information about angels. For instance, there are people that believe that when you die, you then become an angel. That's not true. It's not true. There are those people believe that angels can impact and direct your life somehow, that if you ask them, they will give you direction and they'll help you to do things. That's not true, because that's not what the Bible says is true. And before we go any further, I want you to understand something. I am not telling you what I think angels are. My opinion of that is worthless. The only thing I want you to leave here knowing every Sunday that we have together is, what does the Bible say? That's the source of what we believe to be true. Yes, there are other books that I've consulted, and before I go any further else, I want to thank my wife. Katerina did an extensive study on this years ago, and it is out of her extensive notes that I have taken a lot of what it is I'm going to be sharing with you over the next several weeks that we're going to be doing this. So thank you, honey, very much for helping me with that. Now, angel belief is nothing new. The Hebrews, the Greek, the Egyptians, the Phoenicians, they all believed in angels. And as a matter of fact, there have been many cults that have been formulated because of that, that worship angels. And as a matter of fact, if you think, and if you remember your New Testament, in the book of Colossians, Paul had to address this with one of the churches there in Colossae. Because in Colossians, it's 2:18, he says, don't forsake the worship of our Lord Jesus for the worship of angels. We don't worship them. And so this is something that's been going on and on. And of course, the New Age people will tell you that angels are the most important thing in your life, and you need to appease them and you need to have them as a part of all of that. This morning, what I want to do with you just for a few minutes, by way of introduction, is I want to address three questions. Why, what, and who? Three things I want to look at. The first one is why. Why take the time to do this morning? Why is it important to talk and to learn about this? Well, there are two reasons. I think the first one is this. If you read through the Bible, you will see angels present from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. In the NIV, which is the version that I use, and it varies because of the different versions, but in the NIV, the word angel or angels is listed 290 times. Folks, if there's that much angel activity in the Bible, I think we should know what that is. We should know what it means. We should know what it is and what it isn't. Because there's a lot of untruth about angels, and that's the second reason that we're going to be looking at this over the next several weeks, is because if you do not know what the Bible says, you cannot then differentiate between what is true and what is false. That makes sense? You have to have the foundation of the truth before you're able to determine something else that you're hearing or something else that you're seeing is not true. So that's what I want you to leave here with each week, is a better understanding of what angels are, so that when you see something else that's going on, you can go, wait a minute, that doesn't line up with the Bible. Because this is the foundational place that we stand on. Amen. All right. I like that. Don't you hush her up, man. She's going, amen. So why? Why are we doing this? Because it's in the Bible, and because we need to know the truth from lies. So the second part of this, what is an angel? Easy enough question. What's an angel? Well, an angel is, first of all, a being that is created by God. An angel is a created being. In Psalm 148:2, it says this, praise Him, all His angels, praise Him, all His heavenly host. And then if you skip down a couple verses to 148:5, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord. Now watch, for at His command they were created. Angels were created just as we were created. Angels are not deity. There is no other God but God. God does not share His deity with His creation. So angels are a part of what God did in the very beginning. Now, you may look at that and go, well, wait a minute. Were they here first? Were they here second? Those are things that I want us to look at. But the thing I want to caution you is don't get too hung up on those types of questions that it begins to affect what you know to be true, or it affects your belief. Does that make sense? Because it's easy to get lost in the woods with these kinds of things. All we want to do is to know what is it that the Bible says. And so the Bible talks about angels in the very beginning. In Genesis, you read. Now, here's a trick question. Who's the first angel that's mentioned in the Bible? First angel. I'll give you a gold star if you get this one. Trick question. Say it, because you might be right. It's in Genesis 3:1. What does it say? Go ahead. Somebody say? I'm begging. Come on. Give it to me. What's it say, Genesis 3:1? It says the serpent was the most crafty of all God's creation. The first angel mentioned in the Bible is a fallen angel. Satan is the first one that's mentioned. Satan used to be an angel in the heavenly host, and we're going to talk more about him later. But he fell because of pride. And we've talked a little bit about that in the past. So you see that in the very beginning. The first heavenly angel that you see is the cherubim that God placed at the entrance of the Garden of Eden with the sword after Adam and Eve had sinned and they were thrown out of the garden. Remember that? The Bible says that God put a cherubim. That's in Genesis 3, I think 24. He put a cherubim there. That's an angel. We're going to talk more about cherubim so you know what that is. Okay? The last one that you see is in Revelation 22, the very final chapter of the Bible. John talks about the angel that was being his, almost like a tour guide for him through this vision that God had given him. And I love what it says, because it says that John fell down to worship the angel. And what did the angel say? Whoa, no, 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 don't worship me. I'm a servant just like you are. So that begins to tell us what angels are and how they function and what they do. They are servants of God. Now, because it goes through the entire Bible, in the original Hebrew of the Old Testament, the word angel is melach. If you go to the New Testament, which is the Greek, you'll recognize this one. It's angelos, which is where we get the word angels. That's from the original Greek language. God created the angels just like He created us. And the Bible tells us that they are a little bit higher than we are. Now, you have to understand something. Everything within God's kingdom is in order. There's order to everything that God does. There's levels of order that God puts things in place, and the angels are also a part of that. The Bible says that we are a little bit lower than the angels, and we see this in Psalm 8, 4, and 5. The psalmist says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crown them with glory and honor." Then the author of Hebrews goes later and says the exact same thing. Now, why is it that angels would be placed over God's creation that He loves? The creation that He sent His Son to die for. Why is it that angels right now are at a higher place? Well, it's very simple. It's because they're still in their perfect form. They are still in their perfect created form. Just as Adam and Eve were created in a perfect form. We lose track of that sometimes. Adam and Eve, when they were first created in the garden, they were perfect. There was no sin. How do we know that? Because they had face-to-face communion with God. Remember what it says? Walking with God in the cool of the evening. But when sin entered in, they lost that. And they were expelled from that. And the sin nature took root in each of us. And that's why we need to give our lives and to ask God's forgiveness for our sins. Angels are still at that place. They have direct access to the throne of God. We talked over the last several months about the three parts of heaven, the first, the second, and the third heaven. The first heaven being the created element of what God has done here. The third heaven is the throne room where He is present. The second heaven is the place where the angels dwell. And they have access to be able to go into the very throne of God. And so the Bible tells us that they are a little bit more elevated than we are. But church, can I tell you this? When we are in heaven, we are going to be at the very feet of our Lord. We are going to be able to go and to bow down at the very throne of our Lord and Savior. And so I tell you, I keep coming back to that because I never want us to lose sight of the fact that God has given us a future. This is not it. It's not over here. This is only the place where we're passing through, but the Bible tells us someday we're going to be able to stand face to face and we're going to be able to kneel and to worship at the throne of God. That's the place that the angels have access to right now. Here's the second thing. He's created, but an angel is a supernatural being. Supernatural. Now, we are natural beings, right? We are rules of nature. I cannot jump out of that window without the laws of nature taking over. And after you all get done laughing and pointing at me, you would come over and help me because I'd be hurt. That's what nature does. You have laws about those things. An angel is a supernatural being. So what does that mean in relationship to us? Well, it means this. Even though they are very real, angels are very real, they do not primarily operate in our plane of physical awareness. Does that make sense? Here's all that means. Let me say that a different way. We most often cannot see or hear them. Most often. Now, watch, I said most often. Why? Because if God wants us to see them, if He wants us to hear them, we will. Let me give you an example. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book of the New Testament. Let me just read a quick account. It's probably the most famous one of someone having an actual encounter with an angel. It's the one that you're going to recognize. Luke, first chapter, start in the 26th verse. Are you there? You know where Luke is. That's easy to find. It says this, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting that this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And then, of course, Gabriel goes on and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, to our Savior. God willed it that Mary was able to see and to hear Gabriel. And so it's according to God's will how that happens. Can I tell you something? That us in an effort to try to get an angel to be seen by us is going to have no impact on what happens. You can't somehow conjure an angel up. As a matter of fact, this is the place where I think we tend to get ourselves into problems and trouble areas because we begin to take on the responsibility in our lives that belongs to God alone. God controls what the angels do and do not do. Also in the Old Testament, think about this story. This is in Numbers 22:31. You remember Balaam, the guy with the donkey. And he's going along and the donkey stops because the Bible tells us he could see an angel with a sword standing in their way. Balaam didn't see it. You remember what happens next? He starts wailing away on this poor animal to get moving. And what did the donkey do? First time it ever happened, only time it ever happened. What did the donkey do? He said, "Hey, knock it off. Talk to him. Said to him, stop that." Then the Bible tells us that God opened Balaam's eyes so that he could see the angel too. It was according to what God wanted to have happen. 2 Kings 6:17, if you remember the story of the prophet Elisha, who is with his servant, and they're being surrounded by a group called the Aramites, who want to kill them. And the servant is fearful, and God gave the servant the ability. Elisha said, "God, would you help my servant out here? He's scared." And the Bible says that God opened the servant's eyes, and he could see the chariots and the horses and the angelic warriors all around them, to encourage him and to tell him, "Listen, you're going to be okay." When God dictates that those things will happen, they can happen. Now, do I think that we see those things constantly and all the time? No. No, I don't. As a matter of fact, there are only a few preachers that I have ever heard that have said that they have had actual angelic encounters. I do remember this one. He said he was preaching at a small church, had the platform where you come up, just a traditional church. I love those. I grew up in those church buildings. You walk up the little platform, and there's the pulpit and the choir loft. So the choir had gotten done singing, and they're sitting down, and this guy's preaching, and he's an evangelist, so he's going after it, and he's walking all around, and he had said he walked down to the front, and he finished saying what he wanted to say, and when he turned to go back to the pulpit, he said he looked up, and the entire choir loft was filled with angels. He could see them standing there. And he said he went, "Whoa." Nobody else is moving. Nobody else says anything. He said, so he turned back around, and all of a sudden, he said, they began to come down, and they started walking down the center of the church aisle, just walking. And he said he can remember vividly one of the angels turned and just smiled at him. He said it was the most amazing thing I'd ever felt in my life. He said, but as they got down to the center of the church, he said the entire church, boom, fell out onto the floor. Completely slain in the spirit, if that's what your familiar term is. They all fell out in the spirit. Preacher said he was standing there. He said, I got nobody to talk to. He said, so I went over and I sat down on the step next to the pulpit. And he said, I just waited. He said, the angels left. He said, people were trying to crawl out of the room. No idea what was going on. Finally, they all stood back up. And he said, now, of course, when you have encounters with angels, you probably should talk about that. So he said, the rest of what I was going to preach, I never got to talk about again. He said, the angels were present, and he said, I was able to see when they came down. That was an appointment of God. Now, angels operate in the realm that we cannot see. Do I believe that they're here with us in this room right now? Yes, I do. They absolutely are. Is God going to let us see one or two or three or a bunch of them? I don't know. That would be great. I would love that. I like to try to talk tough like I know what I would do. I have no idea what I would do. Probably lay down on the ground and cry. You know, I don't know what that would be. But church, what I want us to get to do is to begin to open our minds to the infiniteness of God. Not that somehow we become these people that are, you know, I'm so much greater, or I have such a deeper understanding. It's none of that. This does not change our need for Him. But what I want us to understand is that God is active in our lives today. He's active. So that's water angels. They're created. They're not deity. They're created just like we were, but they are supernatural. All right? Here's the last one. Who are angels? Why are we doing this? What are angels and who are angels? Well, the fact of the matter is, and I think you've heard me say this now, they're not like us. They are not somehow superhumans. Angels are in a different class of God's creation. Now, I would lie to you if I told you that I understood that completely. I don't. Someday I will. But right now, all I do is I take it on faith for what the Bible tells me, that God uses angels to His glory and for what it is He desires. So they're supernatural in their nature. Now, they do have characteristics, and we're going to talk about that sometime later. But angels were created, church, for one primary thing, and that's to do the will of God. That's what they do. They do God's will. They don't do their will. They do His will. And they never do anything that they are not told by God to do. They serve Him. The word angel, if you look that up in the original language, the angelos, if you look at the translation, the word angel means messenger. That's what they do. They bring messages. So when you see Gabriel came down and the times that he came and talked to people, he didn't come down to tell them what he thought was going to happen. He came and brought them a message from God. The word also means envoy. It also means ambassador. So angels are not of themselves. They represent God who sent them to come for whatever purpose that was. And the reason that I say that is because it's important for us to understand that when those things might happen in our lives, that number one, we should not be afraid. God never brings fear into our lives. Now, like I said, I would like to think that I would know what to do if an angel showed up. Katarina and I for years have been asking God, you know, send an angel. We'd love to hear, give us a word or send us a message. We actually asked Jesus to come. That's, I'd like that first. You say, Pastor Dave, really, you pray for Jesus to come? Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to talk with Jesus face to face. Am I worthy to do that? Absolutely not. Would I lay down on the ground? You better believe it. I would not even lift my eyes up. But I would love to have that encounter with Him. I'd love for Him to send a messenger. You think you're wondering about things in your life and what you would do? If an angel showed up and said, I have a message to you from God, how important and how much would you take that into your heart? Is there anything that would make you waver from that? Not me. He said, Dave, I've come from the Lord. I want you to go out and start digging ditches for a living. Okay. I'll do it. Nothing's going to change me from that. I'll do what God's told me to do. But that's what the angels do. They come and they bring messages from God. Just a couple more things and then I'm done. The thing about angels is that there is an interaction between heaven and earth. And that's why angels have assignments here on earth. They're called here to, as I said, to do the will of God. And they were present through all of God's creation. Look in Job 38:7. The Bible tells us that angels were present when God created the world. So what that tells us is that angels were created before He created us, because they were present then. You read in Daniel 12:1. Daniel is giving his wisdom and giving his prophecy, I should say, about the end times. And he tells us that during the end times, Michael, the archangel, will be very present in what it is that's going to be taking place. And then in Genesis 19, you read the story of Lot. Remember this story? Two angels showed up. He's living in Sodom, not a good place to live. He's also an official in Sodom, Lot. He's gotten so ingrained. Remember, this is Abraham's nephew. He's living in Sodom, and two angels are sent by God to get Lot and his family out, because what's God going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? He's going to cook it. They're done. judgment is coming. And the Bible goes through and tells us about how those two angels interacted with Lot and with his whole family. Now you may be saying, well, Pastor Dave, you ever seen an angel? Not to my knowledge. You say, well, it's kind of an evasive answer, isn't it? What do you mean, not to my knowledge? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:2, listen to this. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And what that tells me, church, is I believe that angels have the ability to come and to take a form that doesn't look anything like we think an angel would look like. Because what do we think angels look like? 6'8", blonde hair, big shoulders, nice robe, glowing, and wings. Halo? They could have a halo. Sure, give them a halo. That's what we think angels look like. The Bible tells us, though, that angels can take forms that we would not recognize. So I think it's very likely that I have had encounters with angels that I did not know about. There are two times in particular that I think this happened. One of them was yesterday. Several years ago, and I think I shared this story with you, I was in Carlisle at a church working with a pastor. And of course, Carlisle, as you know, is the central trucking hub of one of the central trucking hubs of the East Coast. 81, 83, 11, 76, all of them come right down through Carlisle. So you got all those big truck stops down there. We had our building off the main road, Route 11, near one of the big truck stops. I'm the only one in the building, and I'm working at my desk, and I look up and I see this guy kind of walk by, and he gives me one of these things. Now, I know he doesn't belong there. I've never seen this guy before. He looks a little disheveled, a little tired. I said, hey, I said, how you doing? I said, looking for a bathroom? You know, what, how can I help you? He said, wow. He said, are you one of the pastors here? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not the main guy. I said, but yes, I'm one of the pastors. He said, well, listen. He said, I don't know if you can help me or not. He said, I hitched a ride with a driver. And he said, he was taking me out west. And we stopped here at the truck stop, and he said, and we did some stuff for a while, and he said, I came back out. He said, the truck was gone. The guy left me here. He said, I don't know how I'm going to get home. He said, if I can get to a bus or a train station, if I can get a cab and get to a train station, I can probably buy a ticket and get home. He said, but I don't have any cash. Now, you guys have all had this happen to you at one time or another at some place. Maybe a rest stop, a gas station. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I just need $20 for gas, and I'll send it back to you. No, they won't. So the guy says, man, he said, if I can just get some cash. I said, listen, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I don't have any cash with me. He said, okay. I said, but listen, jump in my car. I said, there's an ATM right up the road here. Let's go up the road. I said, let me get you some money and just hopefully get you on your way. So I went up, and I didn't have a lot of money, but I took out like $60 or something like that. I said, will that get you where you want to go? Yeah, thanks so much. So he takes off. I go back in my office. About 2 hours later, the pastor comes back in, and I told him about this. I was actually kind of excited. I thought, I did a good thing here. You know what he said to me? What a sucker you are. He said, man, did you just get hosed? He said, that guy just took your money. He doesn't need money. I went, oh, well, maybe that's true. I went back and I sat at my desk, and I started to feel pretty foolish for just a few seconds. But then suddenly I felt such a presence of the Holy Spirit that spoke to my heart and said, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. Now, church, I'm not telling you this so you go, ooh, you did what you're supposed to do. I get this wrong more times than I get it right. But I got it right that time. Now, was that an angel? I have no idea. Could have been. Maybe God was just checking to see my heart. Yesterday, I'm in Lancaster, the wedding before yours. I was all warmed up, ready to do your wedding. I'd already practiced. I was good to go. I'm in Lancaster on Queen Street. And I pull up, and I got a parking spot right in front of the facility, like I always seem to get at that place, right in front of the venue. And I'm sitting there, and I'm doing some mileage. I'm sending some stuff to Katarina. And I see this lady come up and stand next to the car at the window. I know what she wants. She's dirty, and she's got this cigarette. Her hands are shaking. And so I put the window down. I said, hey. I said, how are you? She said, now, I don't buy these cigarettes. Some of them gave them to me. She said, and I only smoke like one or two a day. And she started to fumble around. And I said, ma'am. I said, I got a wedding I got to get ready for here. I got to go perform a wedding. I said, let me do what I got to do. I said, I'll come out and I'll talk to you in just a minute, okay? So she backed away. So I'm sitting in the car and I'm going, man, I got like $40 on me. So I took one of the 20s and I folded it up. I had it in my hand and I got out of the car. And she came over and she was starting to take. I said, here you go, dear. I said, God bless you. And she took it and she walked away. Didn't say thank you, none of that stuff. You know, they just take it and boom, she's gone. So I'm walking into the wedding and I'm thinking, Lord, did I just have a visitation from an angel that I was unaware? You say, that didn't look anything like an angel. Exactly. That's why God would have somebody like that that would come into my life and say, now, what are you going to do? And this is why I encourage you almost every week, church, to be ready for what God is going to give you an opportunity to do every single day of the week. Be ready to do an act of kindness. Be ready to speak an encouraging word. Be ready to show somebody love that does not deserve what you're going to give them. This lady did not deserve me to hand her money. She's a panhandler. Now, I can think all kinds of bad things about her, but you know what I felt more than anything else? God, this poor woman. She's got nothing. What are her circumstances that led her to this? I don't know, but what I do know is this. God put me in that place in that moment for me to give her just a little blessing. And maybe in some way, that's going to impact her in a way that I would have no idea. I may have had an angel visit me that I was unaware of. I'm always going to look at it that way. Say, Pastor Dave, that's kind of silly, don't you think? Maybe. But I'm willing to be silly. It's okay. I'm willing to take that chance to have an opportunity to bless someone in a way that maybe nobody else is going to. Well, church, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't let Hollywood, don't let the secular writers, and don't let false religions dictate to you what the Bible says about angels in the Bible. Now, we do not elevate angels beyond the place that they belong. There is nobody that's greater than Jesus. We don't worship angels. We don't pray to angels. We pray to God. We pray to His Son. And we're going to talk more about that in the weeks to come because, again, I want you to understand what that means and what that is so that when you see that show on television, when that show comes up, was it Lucifer? Was that the one? I think, praise God, that show has finally been canceled. I mean, my goodness. They take the enemy of God and make him very charming and very suave and very accessible and all of that. And is that who he is? Yeah, he is. But boy, I'll tell you, we cannot embrace him into our lives in a way to go, oh, that's neat. That's kind of nice. He's the enemy. And to understand what that means in context with the Scripture is what I want for us over these next several weeks. Angels are very real, church. We rarely see them or hear them. God has the capability to do that. But more times than not, God is going to allow an angel to come into your life and you're never even going to know it. And he's going to want to know, how are you going to react to this person? What is it that you're going to do? God created everything in order. I shared that with you. And angels have an order as well. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like and how that works. So be encouraged, church. We're not alone. God uses angels to bless us. He uses them to fight for us. They have spiritual battles over our lives. So I want to encourage you this morning. You're never alone. I shared that with Vance and Roxanne yesterday. From this point on, you are never alone again. And church, that's who we are as Christians. We are never alone in this walk of life. Well, Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father, that you are desiring for us to know all of these things. Not, God, so that our brain pans get bigger, not so that we can impress people with our knowledge, none of those things. Father, this is done in order that we may have a closer walk with you, so that we may be assured of who we are, and more than that, who you are in our lives. So thank you, Father. I pray, God, against any confusion. I pray against the lies of the world that want to come in and try to tell us that it's something that it's not. Lord, we just want to follow your word. We believe what your word says. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's on that rock that we stand. So, Father, we thank you and give you all the glory and honor. Bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Keep them safe this week. And, Lord, again, every opportunity we have that you show and give to us, may we demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ with every word that we say and everything that we do, all to your glory. It's in your matchless Son's name that we pray all of these things. Amen.